From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Professor James Papandrea, co-author of How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, a podcast that is committed to bringing the most interesting, inspirational, and informative people directly to your earbuds, and today will be no exception. I'm going to be introducing, in just a few moments, the author of a book that I thoroughly enjoyed reading. It's a book titled, How Christianity Saved Civilization, the subtitle, and Must Do So Again. And the time is now. So this is a very timely book. You can find the book on the web at equip.org, available for anyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I want to start the podcast with a quote from this book that I found absolutely intoxicating. And in some ways, this quote sums up the book. Again, this is a quote from How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again by James Papandrea and Mike Aquilina. And it is a rather unsettling quote from a Scottish law professor by the name of Alexander Fraser Tytler. And it was written in 1770 or thereabouts. So let me read this quote. You can find it in the book. And this book is full of terrific quotes like this. But Alexander Fraser Tytler writes, "A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largest from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates that promise the most benefits, and that from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over lousy fiscal policy." And then the quote goes on to say, followed by a dictatorship. "The average of the world's great civilizations before they decline has been 200 years. These nations have progressed in the sequence, and here's the sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, and then from selfishness to complacency, and from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back again to bondage." And Jim Papandrea, as one of the authors, observes that the United States is now over 200 years old. So the time frame is about right for the United States to be going through this sequence. And we appear to be at the point of transitioning from abundance to selfishness. So the question becomes, how do we avoid falling into complacency and apathy? So we're going to talk about all that and much, much more. Again, the book, How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again. Jim Papandrea fits our mission statement of being interesting, informative, and inspirational. He's a teacher. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a magician. And after graduating from the University of Minnesota with a bachelor's degree in music and the theater arts, He received an MDiv from Fuller Theological Seminary, so he's ecumenical, to say the least, and that with a concentration in youth ministry. He holds a PhD in history and theology of the early Christian church, which is something that I absolutely treasure. I think this is fabulous because we need to learn so much from the church when the church was young. But anyway, he has this PhD in history and theology of the early Christian church from Northwestern. And then he studied Roman history at the American Academy in Rome, Italy. And he's now a professor of history and historical theology. Now, I'm skipping over a lot of his credits to go to the fact that he is a published songwriter and, catch this, a professional musician. And then he's a well-published author as well, including the book that we're talking about today, How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again. In this book, the authors say that many people in our time feel liberated to criticize the church, but this book will equip Christians to defend not only the faith once for all delivered to the saints, but the church today and forever. And one of the points, Jim, that you make in this book is that we must defend our mother. And our mother is the church. The church is the epicenter of the universe. The church is absolutely critical to Christianity. Saint Cyprian of Carthage said that no one can have God as his father without having the church as his mother, because it's in the church that we receive the sacraments that transform us from one glory to another. And it's in the church that we receive the very sacraments that give us the power to do precisely what this book is talking about, saving civilization. So what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to this conversation. It's great to be a part of it, and I really appreciate being here and talking with you. It's a great honor. You know, I think that one of the things that Mike and I first agreed on when we first met is, this idea, and we're not the first people to observe this, but this idea that, in a world where tolerance has become one of the highest virtues, there is still one acceptable intolerance left, which is the intolerance against traditional Christianity, against the Catholic Church. And, I do get kind of annoyed with a lot of the church bashing that we hear. And, there's a certain smugness in the culture, ironically, a certain self-righteousness when it comes to the ability or even the joy some people get out of criticizing the church, the history of the church, Christians in general, et cetera. And this is nothing new. I mean, it goes back, I think, even, in ancient times already, there were those who speculated that Christianity was the cause of all of the world's problems. And then, you have even very sort of well-respected historians like Edward Gibbon, who, basically wrote on the assumption that, Christianity is the problem. And so when Mike Aquilina and I wrote this book, we wanted this book to say, no, Christianity is the solution to the problems. It is not the problem. And we feel very strongly about that. And so that's kind of what this book is all about.
Yeah, and it is a terrific book. Again, you can get your copy on the web at equip.org. One of the points that you make in this book, and it is insightful, is that we don't have to reimagine the church. What we have to do is learn from the church when the church was young. We can learn from the creeds. We can learn from the confessions. We can learn from the ecumenical councils. But the church has been the God-ordained instrument, the pillar and ground of truth, to pass the faith on from the earliest moments of the church to today. And so we can learn so much from documents like the Didache, so much from the Bible, so much from holy tradition, which has been passing on the faith everywhere, always, and to all.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that in our modern culture, there is a prevalent attitude toward kind of what I would call a revolution mentality, that change is always good, no matter what, that all change is always better than the status quo or better than, tradition. And that, this attitude that if you want to fix something, the only way to do it right is to, burn it down to the ground and start over again. And, all of those kinds of attitudes, I think, are simmering underneath a lot of what our contemporary culture assumes in terms of how to fix the world's problems.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. James Papandrea. Ancient Rome's brutal culture exploited the weak and considered human life expendable. Women were used as property. Unwanted children were left on the streets to die. Four centuries later, even ordinary men and women prospered in what had become a vigorous new Christian society. A society that served the vulnerable, exalted women, treasured virtue, and loved peace. Faith had triumphed as truth was proclaimed. The book How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again by Mike Aquilina and James Papandrea offers hope that followers of Christ may once again transform a dark and hostile culture. To receive your copy of How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Here again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. James Papandrea, as they continue their conversation.
There is a prevalent attitude that change is always good, no matter what, and that if you want to fix something, the only way to do it right is to burn it down to the ground and start over again. All of those kinds of attitudes, I think, are simmering underneath a lot of what our contemporary culture assumes in terms of how to fix the world's problems. And, you know, what we want to get back to is, I think, a saner, more logical attitude that, you know, what has stood the test of time is what's going to fix our problems. You know, not burn it all down and start over again, but go back to the foundation and to what has stood the test of time. And for us, you know, both Mike Aquilina and I are students of the Church Fathers. The Church Fathers are those early bishops, theologians, catechists, and leaders of the early church who literally defined for us what Christianity is, what the Bible is, what the church is. And, you know, we need to go back to those sources to find the kind of wisdom that we need for the future. And, you know, that's kind of where we're coming from on this.
Yeah. And that's a point that you make again and again in the book. One of the points that I underscored when I was reading through the book for the third time was the issue of truth. You point out that we often have this conception that truth evolves over time, and therefore the truths that we hold dear today are better than the truths of yesteryear. And that is a rank myth and fallacy.
Oh, yeah. It's really a form of arrogance, which says that, you know, like somehow the people who live now are automatically smarter than the people who lived, you know, 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago. And I mean, that's just not true. You know, I defy the modern world to come up with, you know, anyone on the level of genius of an Augustine or an Aquinas or something. And I mean, sure, we have geniuses now too, but the point is that, you know, it is not the case that humanity evolves in some way that means that people are automatically smarter or more enlightened now just because we live later in time. That's just not true.
Yeah, elaborate on that a little bit, because I think that there's a dearth of knowledge with respect to history in general, and certainly with respect to church history. So you mentioned the brilliance of the Church Fathers. You don't really capture that if you never read the Church Fathers. When you do, precisely what you have just said is underscored. I have absolutely been mesmerized by the brilliance of a St. John Chrysostom or St. Basil, St. Gregory Nazianzus. There's so many of these fathers. When you start to read them, you go, my goodness, they're in a category that surpasses Aristotle and Plato. I mean, I don't agree with their worldviews, but they were brilliant men. But when you read the fathers, they're even more brilliant.
That's right. I completely agree. And, you know, part of the reason for that is that they're not relying only on their own brilliance, but they are relying on the Spirit of God to inspire them as well. And I mean, part of the brilliance of the Church Fathers is they knew what to receive from the likes of Plato and Aristotle, and they knew what to reject. They understood where some of the earlier philosophers had been right about the universe, and they understood where they had been wrong. And yeah, I mean, these Church Fathers, in many ways, they are better philosophers, and they're certainly better philosophers than so many of the modern philosophers on which, you know, our political theories and things are based. I mean, you know, the Church Fathers make these contemporary philosophers and modern era philosophers and Enlightenment philosophers make them look like, you know, a bunch of whiners. So, you know, it's it really is eye-opening to read the Church Fathers. And basically what we did in writing this book is we sort of took the wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to, you know, the situation we find ourselves in now.
I think one of the points that could be underscored as well in this regard is that we so often say that we love the Bible, But holy tradition has been very important in giving us a right way of understanding the Bible. So it's not necessarily an independent instance or a complementary source of faith, but it's a right way of understanding the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And, you know, as I teach my students, you know, you have the scriptures as revealed wisdom. You know, this is not truth that humans have made up from scratch, but that has somehow been revealed to us. The primary revelation of God, I think, is the incarnation itself, the very person of Jesus. And then the scriptures kind of help us understand who he is and what the incarnation was about. But then, to your point, we need tradition to help us interpret the scriptures. And in those branches of Christianity where they reject tradition, they may claim that scripture is sort of, you know, self-evident, or that it can be interpreted and read by anyone, or that the meaning is plain and on the surface. But, you know, what ends up happening is they disagree and they split, and now there's like, you know, 40,000 different, you know, Protestant denominations, which is sort of proof that scripture is not necessarily self-evident and easily interpreted. And so we need the tradition of the church, which is, you know, the consensus over time of how to read the scriptures, how to understand them, what the meanings are, how to interpret them. We need that. And I mean, the bottom line is this, you know, that all heresy is really the result of trying to interpret the scriptures apart from the church and apart from tradition. And it is exactly the tradition and the teaching office of the church that gives us the checks and balances we need to understand the Bible, and that prevents us from, you know, going off on some tangent that would lead us astray.
And developing our own new tradition, and as you have pointed out, in thousands of different ways, and then in thousands of different organizations. Why were Christians so hated in the early Roman Empire? And the reason I want to start out with that question as a focal point is because from your perspective, you don't want to necessarily equate or make equivalency between the Roman Empire and what's going on in America today as much as you want to highlight the pre-Christian civilization, the pre-Christian world, and the post-Christian world, and to see how the pre-Christian world was able to impact the Roman Empire in the same way that the post-Christian world ought to be able to impact the world today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are definitely similarities between, you know, our context in the United States, North America, and the Roman Empire, but that's not really what the book is about. The first time Mike Aquilina and I met each other, we were both at a conference and we started talking, and we got around to this idea that, boy, you know, the world we live in now, in many ways, has come full circle to the way the world was when Christianity was persecuted. So when we talk about a pre-Christian world, I don't mean pre-Christian as in before Christianity existed. I mean pre-Christian as in before Christianity converted the world, the Roman Empire. And in that pre-Christian world, you know, this was a world where sex and violence and humiliation were entertainment. It was a world where marriage was a business contract, and people felt perfectly justified in finding love outside of the marriage. This is a world where prostitution and pornography were a perfectly acceptable part of the culture. And this is a world where people were disposable because people were owned by other people, not just slaves, but women were treated as though they were owned by the men in their household. And children could be killed simply because a father didn't want them. So this is the world that the church comes into. And to answer your question, why was the church so hated by this world? It was hated by this world because it showed the world a better way. The church came in and just by its very existence critiqued the values of the Roman Empire. And that was seen as, well, just downright unpatriotic and unenlightened and unliberated and all of these things. And of course, you know, spoiler alert, eventually the church converted that empire. But now we find ourselves in, you know, what many have called a post-Christian world, meaning that, you know, we've kind of come full circle, and we now live in a world that marginalizes or even persecutes faithful traditional Christianity, because once again, it holds up a mirror to the culture and critiques it and offers a better way, but it's a way that would ask people to limit their behavior, and people don't want to limit their behavior. And so here we are again in this post-Christian world where in some places the church is persecuted, in other places it is marginalized or called politically incorrect or called unenlightened or whatever it is. And here we find ourselves again.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor James Papandrea. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of How Christianity Saved Civilization and Must Do So Again by Mike Aquilina and James Papandrea. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.